How's your week?
It was pretty good. Busy as always, but
I guess the more interesting question was, how was your weekend now that we were
much better.
on a Sunday? Yeah, I'm like, nobody cares about your work day. Sorry, Ashley.
No, they
We talked
don't.
about it on episode one.
And
We talked about
it's,
your work day and my work day. So
yeah.
we're over that. That's old news.
I'm over it already, very far.
Okay, but weekend, what'd you do?
Weekend was good. Went to see Dune.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was good. I really liked it. I think the visuals are extremely impressive. Yeah.
Is it important to see it in theaters or not? Or
I don't know. I've had
maybe
this discussion with a couple of people now, and a few people are tending to say they're just going to see it at home.
that's me. I
Yeah.
haven't seen it yet. I want to see it at home because it's just come on, why pay if it's free on my couch?
Exactly. For me, it was pretty cool to see it in theaters, a little bit immersive. I mean, I guess if you wanted to see like Star Wars in theater, you'd probably want to see this in theater, but you'll probably still enjoy it if you watch it at home.
Yeah, is the visuals like the most important part of the movie, or is it like one of the big facts? Like, okay, so for example, do you remember what was that movie, the James Cameron movie with the blue Avatar?
Avatar.
Yeah, they were like, everyone was like, you must see this in theaters because the detail is so much. Like, that was the most important part of the movie, was the visuals. Do you feel like Dune is the same?
No, I think it has a bit more going on than just the visuals, but they are quite pleasant. Like, some of it was just so cool, like slow
Captivating.
pans
Is
and
it sort of
just,
like Mad Maxy on the
you know, I
visuals?
never saw that, so I'm
Oh.
not sure.
Ooh, Mad Max had beautiful
But from
visuals.
the trailers I saw, yeah, it is kind of like that.
Okay.
Very
I'm
sand
still on the fence.
focused.
I know, right?
Think
Sand.
sand.
Do you okay, so wait, you were just talking about Star Wars a second ago. Do you get the sand meme, the Star Wars sand meme, if I were to say that to you? Ashley, you are so, you know what?
Thank you so
I
much.
feel like our audience is going to either identify with you or me, like the person who gets all of the memes and the person who doesn't.
I think that this podcast is gonna help me get there. I just can't lie to you.
Don't lie,
I'm
don't
just
lie.
so, I'm under
But
an
I
awe.
also, I filled my brain up with too much useless knowledge that I have conversations with people and I'm like, hey, do you get this really stupid reference? And they're like, no, do you read books? Like,
I don't know if I do any of that. I work, and I listen to
and
podcasts,
you beach cycle.
and I do beach cycling, which is the other thing I did today. And it was freaking
Tell the
beautiful.
listeners what beach cycling is.
Beach cycling is a spin cycle class, literally on the beach in Santa Monica, facing the water, and they
In the
have
sand on the beach.
in the sand on the beach, like it is on the sand. It like my whole weekend is sand themed.
That literally
So
sounds like a dream. It
it's
sounds
beautiful.
like a dream that, I don't know, I was gonna say like Amy Schumer would have. And the only reason I'm thinking that is because she had like in one of her movies, she was like obsessed with spin. It was that, I don't know. I'm like, I see, I spit references that I have no idea where they come from.
It's a
I'm just
very
full of
Amy Schumer
reference.
thing.
But yeah, that sounds like something Amy Schumer would really love.
I
Not
think
that I
so.
particularly know what Amy Schumer would like, but
It has that
it
vibe.
has that
It really
vibe. It
does.
has that vibe.
Yeah, they're very motivational, and you wear headphones so that you can hear the teacher. And so you're like in the zone, you're doing your thing, the sun's going down. Or maybe if you're really early, you can go and do the sunrise one, but that is not me.
That's probably
So.
me. If I were to do it, I would do sunrise.
Oh, I could totally see that.
Okay, wait. Do people ever come up, like random strangers come pass by and are like, what are you doing? Like, do they try and talk to you?
People are afraid of us, but they take a lot of photos of us. There's like, I'm sure I'm in a lot of tourists' photos or like locals who are just like, what the heck is that? Like all these people in a unison riding in a line with all these headsets on. They have like glowing lights. It's very weird.
That's so funny. I
Yeah.
also must know, are these bikes on the beach all the time, or are they like loaded on every day?
That's a very good question. I ask myself the same thing, but I'm pretty sure they go into a box truck at night because there's this poor man who I see at the last, yeah, at the end of the day, he's like lugging them down the sand. It's so
Oh
much
my
work for him. There's like
goodness.
literally
I
one
really hope
guy.
he gets paid more than the
I
CEO.
don't know, but
Wow.
he's there every time. and it's heavy work.
I would imagine. I don't think I could move a single bike, let alone, like, how many are there? 20 at a time?
At least, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But did you go to Bunda this weekend?
No, I only went to Bunda twice this week because I ran out of ClassPass credits. Yeah. So I did not, as much as I said that I was going to work out this weekend, I did not. I just cleaned.
Hey.
That's it.
That's a big deal. Feels good, though.
You know what? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to love myself because there is not a dirty dish in the sink. I have clean sheets. I have clean laundry. Like, the only thing I'm going to have to deal with in the morning is just cleaning up the cats. Whatever messes they made at night.
Oh, gosh. All those cats.
They're so cute. Okay, so today, I don't know if I sent you this photo, but I just sat down on the couch to read a little bit, and I kicked my feet up on the coffee table, so I was, like, slightly reclined, and then one cat climbed on top of me, and then another, and then another, and then another, and, like, before you know it, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I had 8 cats on me out of 11. Out of 11 of these kittens, I had 8 of them on me.
That's pretty incredible.
While I was trying to read. So I had, like, the book in the air.
They're just trying to make you, like, a living blanket.
And then after a while, I was like, I can't do it. It's just, I'm going to cuddle for a minute.
I'm smothered.
They're so sweet.
They're really sweet. I was over there when I was at your house yesterday, and they're just, like, crawling on my back.
Literally,
like,
crawling all over you.
They're trying, like, to get, like, into my lap from, like, behind me, over my shoulder. Hi.
I know. They come out of nowhere.
They really do. They're, like, at your feet. And
yeah. They climb up my leg. My leg is a cat tree.
Yep.
Like, with their arms, like, grabbing at my leg. It's so ridiculous. But
they're adorable.
They are full of love.
They are.
So it's easy to receive it.
What are you reading? You said you were reading a book.
Oh, yeah. So I'm reading Atomic Habits, and I have some feelings on it so far. And so far, it's not, like, necessarily positive. Okay, so half of it I feel like is positive because I'm like, okay, the concepts are great. Okay, to be fair, I'm only on, like, I'm on maybe 90 pages out of probably, like, 250, 300 pages, something like that.
I mean, you're in.
So I'm, like, a third of the way in, right? So I'm kind of, like, in it, but not, like in the middle yet. So some of it is good because I feel like it's really actionable, but I also feel like he says a little bit of, like, I don't know, it just kind of feels like a little fatphobic, a little.
Fatphobic?
Yeah.
Like weight loss is part of the transition to a better self?
A little bit. Like, he says some stuff that's like, it just, like, really rubs me the wrong way when authors do this, when they're like, oh, like, if you want to lose weight, put that cookie down. And my thought is, like, okay, that one cookie that's 120 calories is not the reason why you're, like, you can't lose weight. That's not the reason. That just, like, bothers me. Because I feel like at that point, it's, like, starting to micromanage people's lives where they can't even enjoy a cookie. Like, that
you
bothers me.
Should not feel ashamed for that one.
And here,
thing.
I'm, like, taking my jacket off because I'm literally getting heated about it. It did drive me a little crazy. I'm like, he says some other things, too, that it's, like, pointing at your food and, like, the food and your weight are equal. Like, how you eat directly affects your weight. And then he was also saying, like, weighing yourself every morning is a good habit. And I'm like, no. But that's
what?
Classic for a white man to write. Like, it's just, like, some classic white man who wrote this book. So I take that kind of information from them with a grain of salt because men don't necessarily recognize, like, those kinds of behaviors in each other that are really toxic. And so they kind of perpetuate it for themselves and they don't recognize it. But, like, women were sweet. I don't know, like, were attacked by it. So for us, we recognize it instantly when somebody's, like, pointing out weight. I don't know. So anyways, sorry to make this, like, so negative already, but
it's not negative. I think it's an interesting book. I've heard a few things about it. The thing I'm most curious about is, like, they say it's little actionable steps, like a how-to guide. Like, I haven't read it, so I'm not sure.
So far, yes. That's exactly. But it's like, for me, sometimes when authors just like really shove very specific perspectives down your throat that have nothing to do with the book, mm-hmm. that just really bothers me.
Yeah.
Like this one time, I had a friend who, okay, granted, this friend was also, he's also like part of a different generation. You know, he's Gen X. He's like a little bit older. But he recommended this book about like connecting with people in an age where people are so connected on their phones. Mm-hmm. And the whole book was just trashing on the millennial generation of like people who stand in the line and who look at their phones are just useless people to society. And I'm so much better because I don't look at my phone. I scan, you know, and look at people, and I look at people's eyes, and I'm like, the whole creepy. Book is like, I'm so much better than you because blah, blah, blah.
I'm so connected.
And I'm
deeply.
Like, I'm like, right. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're just like this book is just full of ego.
How right.
And people who are on their phones are not more or less quote connected. So books like that, where the author just pushes a personal agenda, I can't see the real point of the book because their agenda is just so in my face.
Well, maybe at the same time, their agenda is worthwhile, but their viewpoints are so limited that it doesn't translate to a wider audience. You know what I mean? Like, if this book for the first 90 pages is mainly about, like, pushing healthy habits of eating, I mean, that certainly isn't transferring
to
everyone.
That's not, like, a main topic, but I also do understand that, like, again, like for older generations, they're not so sensitive to these things. So you could tell my aunt or my mom to put that cookie down and they're not going to be like, oh, you're fat shaming me or anything like that. But if right. you tell somebody of our generation, we might feel differently.
Oh, 100%.
Even though no matter what, it's fat shaming.
Yeah, it's the same but, thing in a different form.
Right. Like, so I feel like maybe the audience that he's writing to is maybe a little bit older and a little bit less sensitive to those things. Because I've heard only positive things about this book. And I've not heard one thing that's like, ooh, he's kind of bringing up things that he has no business bringing up. He's also an athlete. I should point that out as well. So again, he just might just have a lot of negative health things shoved down his throat. And
totally, that could just be the place he comes from, and so saying put that cookie down could be pretty benign to him, you know. Yeah. Whereas like,
and also the weighing
reader,
yourself every day just okay. is such a negative habit.
Weighing yourself every day, like, is something I did when I was doing my macros diet. It gets so tiring.
Does that not create an eating disorder?
Your weight does not change day to day.
No, but like, also, like, your
does,
weight is not fat either. Like,
it does not correlate
fat loss
to
and weight loss are not the
your
same
body
thing.
Composition.
No.
And your body composition does not correlate to how you see yourself. They are all independent factors that you have to work very hard to link up in a positive way. I mean, I got to a place where I looked at the number on the scale and I didn't think it was amazing. I didn't think it was terrible. I was like, that is my weight. And it is pretty much the same as yesterday, and you just get used to it. So in a way, weighing myself every day took the power away from what weight was, which sounds really strange.
No, but that's interesting. But I also, I mean, do you feel like you have a good perspective on your body in that kind of way? Because here's the thing, I also don't weigh myself, and if I were to, I would have that same view as you. It's just kind of like neutral, mm-hmm. not bad, not good. But maybe 5 years ago, weighing myself every day was probably something that could have, like, caused more harm than good.
I did not weigh myself for probably 3 or 4 years. I was very afraid to step on the scale. It was a bad day when I did step on the scale, and that's probably what caused me to go on my diet. But I think I developed a healthy relationship to weight, but only because I developed a healthier relationship with eating. Which,
yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is it's like, if you're prone to eating disorders, like, don't encourage people to do something that's going to enhance it.
Yeah, I think weight, no matter what, is really just the side effect of an underlying problem. I mean, for me, it's anxiety. It wasn't that I didn't know how to eat.
Right? Like, that's the thing, is it's like, we have so much access to so much information at this day and age. Like, people who are like, quote, overweight or, you know, out of shape in any way, like, don't tell them what to do at the same time. Like, duh, they know. There's information out there, but let them live their life. They don't have to live the life that that you expect them to live.
Well, I always look at things a little bit from a medicalized approach.
Which I love. So, Ashley the med.
So I'm just always like, don't comment on the symptoms. Like, what is the root cause? What is causing someone to be unhappy? What is causing someone to gain weight or lose weight or not be able to change something they want to change? There's something underlying that. Maybe there's a few things underlying that. Maybe there's a history there. It, you know, try talking to someone. Have some empathy.
You know what? What I've really realized lately is the world is lacking empathy right now.
Mm-hmm. It's because people have been strung on too long with COVID. They cannot, you know, you can barely handle yourself.
Yeah. I mean, even truly myself, and we were having this conversation yesterday, I just feel like, I don't know, maybe the energy is just so negative that it's like starting to like latch on to me and I'm like starting to be a part of it. But like recognizing that, I'm like, ah,
get away.
I don't want it. Get it off me.
Gross. Ew. Yeah, no, I had the same thing. And I think, like I said before, I'm prone to anxiety. So it wasn't necessarily that I was, well, I was probably pretty negative. But it was more like hyperactive negativity. Like, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Mm.
You know? Whereas maybe for you it's slightly different. I'm not sure. But it's, yeah, there's something in the air, maybe.
Yeah, the negativity for me is like everybody is pissing me off kind of thing. Like, everybody's doing something to bother me. Everybody's doing something wrong, which is such a selfish perspective. And I feel like that only ever comes with a negative mindset.
Sometimes I just wonder if we're all just still suffering from burnout.
I think so too. I really do. The way that this world is just falling apart on us before our eyes, it just makes me really sad. Because if people are getting so frustrated, and they don't know what to do with their feelings, honestly. And no. So people are just getting angrier and more frustrated. Mm-hmm. And it's it passes on to each other.
It definitely
multiplies.
Feeds. It definitely feeds and grows. And I mean, I feel like I just keep coming back to it. It's like, you just have to think about those things that make you happy. Like, I call this LA vibe, like, my sunshine medicine. And I just always, every day, like, I have to find that piece of my day that reminds me, hey, I'm in LA. Like, there's good things here. I wanted to be here. I'm doing good things myself. Just try to, like, fend off that, like, negative energy that just floats around. I don't know.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be having this seasonal.
You know what I would love to know now? Okay, so let's kind of shift the conversation into a positive spin now. What has been your metaphorical sunshine medicine this week? What has LA given you that has brought you happiness this week?
Oh, that's tough.
Tough because there's nothing. LA is just doom and gloom right now. Don't move here.
It's horrible. I mean, not to like cycle back and regurgitate, but I feel like the beach cycle is usually the thing that kind of kickstarts me and keeps
just
me going.
Resets.
Yeah. It's a little bit meditative. It's slightly spiritual.
It is. That.
Yeah.
It sounds it. I mean, to watch the sunset on the beach.
Yeah. It's so
and
beautiful. And
zone out.
Like, there's a girls group where we met, and another girl had messaged me on there. She's like, oh, I've been seeing that you're going to beach cycle. I want to join. So this random girl just up and came to the class and sat beside me and chatted with me, and she was wonderful and so lovely. So
I
just
love
like
that.
You know, just the energy that comes from trying new things and meeting new people, and it just reminds you, like, okay, someone else somewhere is having a different experience than me, and maybe this is like the best day for them, and like, it's not all horrible.
I love that. That's great, is thinking about like the perspectives of the other people that that are maybe not so negative right now and that haven't been crushed by whatever society has handed them yet.
I know. I was like, I think she's a little bit younger than me, so maybe she's just having the time of her life.
Good for her. So, I need that.
Yeah. So what's your sunshine medicine this week?
Let's see. Definitely, I mean, this is not specific to LA, but the sugar cookie latte at Starbucks. I've had a lot, and I'm not a Starbucks person, nor am I, like, a sugar person. But I've decided that my signature scent dash flavor is cookie for winter. Like, I want to smell like a cookie all the time.
Yeah.
I want to taste cookies all the time. So cookie is just my thing right now.
What sort of cookie are we talking? Like, those white, like, sugar cookies?
Yeah. Okay, so like the thing buttery. Is... Yeah, like a sugar, like with the sprinkles, like a Christmas, like a Christmas cookie.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what they have at Starbucks right now. And I'm obsessed. So I get it with the half the sweetener because Starbucks is way too sweet for me.
What's your milk?
Oat milk.
Every time.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the latte tastes like kettle corn. It doesn't really taste like sugar cookie. It tastes like kettle corn. At least with the oat milk, maybe it makes it taste different. But it's really good. So that's my sunshine medicine this week.
That's a good recommendation, too.
So good.
Because I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah, it's new this year.
Perfect.
Yeah. I went the first day that it came out. I like, woke up early and was like, ooh, I have time to go get a coffee. And I was like, scrolling on Instagram, and I saw the ad that the red cups were out and the new flavors were out. So I, like... I was going to say ran to the drive-thru. No, I drove straight to the drive-thru.
Yeah. And how are you going to smell like a cookie?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the way that I'm smelling like a cookie right now is my deodorant is Native, which
I love
their deodorant.
Nice.
They have a sugar cookie deodorant right now.
Seriously?
It smells so good. It smells so good. I got it at Target. I really like Native's deodorants. They smell really good, but I especially love them because they do seasonal ones. Like, I know they did a pumpkin spice one. I didn't get the pumpkin spice
one. That girl smells like cake.
She's, yeah, okay, but they had a sugar cookie and I got it. Okay, but the thing that really kicked off the sugar cookie smell like obsession is Glossier came out with, it's the like speculoos cookie from Trader Joe's.
Mm.
The cookie butter, I guess, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have a cookie butter lip balm. So I got that and it's divine. So after that, I was like, oh, I think I just want to smell like a cookie for Christmas. So that's
all I want for Christmas.
I just want to smell like a cookie and taste like cookies.
So that's
bringing me the most joy.
Let's say this. If you're feeling down this week, you have a rescue plan to get yourself up. You go get your latte. You put on that deodorant. You smell like a cookie. You spray yourself.
Especially put that deodorant on.
And you go outside and you tell people.
I know.
Christmas is coming.
I know, right? You know, it's so funny. As soon as I put the deodorant on, I like run up to Nestor with my pits. And I'm like, I'm a cookie.
I'm a cookie.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. But
no, that's it's my so
thing.
Cute.
That's my thing lately. Welcome back. Now we're going to talk about fast fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fashion that is fast. That's the topic.
The opposite of slow fashion.
It's extreme sports fashion.
Oh my God. I feel like fast fashion is so strange to say now because pretty much all fashion you can access right now is fast fashion.
Yeah, I know. People like to reserve the term for just like H&M and Forever 21.
And Zara.
Yeah, but like those are just maybe the fastest.
They're just doing it the best.
Yeah.
If we're talking about making fast fashion.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere that you buy clothes that are brand new is fast fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Even your probably favorite sustainable places.
It's so true.
But that, you know, I think relies heavily on the trend cycle. And I was telling you about that TikToker. Let me get her actual TikTok name because I feel like people should actually follow her.
Mm-hmm.
But she talks a lot about, okay, her Instagram name. Okay, so her name is Mandy Lee. I absolutely love her. So she talks a lot about trend cycles and fashion in that way. But her username is Old Loser in Brooklyn. So I think you guys should definitely follow her. She's super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of what she talks about is like trend cycles and how where people buy specific pieces in trend cycles and how you can kind of predict those things. And that's a lot of what these brands are doing, is basically like predicting when you're going to be buying these things and like, yeah, just like making way too much of it and just creating like too much waste.
Well, that's something like let's say this. I did a lot of research because that is my nature, and I have a 4-page document, which we are not going to use.
Oh my God. She literally did so much research. I love it with links. There's like references at the very bottom, like a literal college
essay. I'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll put all this stuff in the show notes. So tell us some of your favorite / least favorite facts.
Well, I mean, I think the most striking thing and the first thing I read and the first thing I wrote was there's 80 billion pieces of new clothing purchased each year on a global scale. 80 billion.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
How many pieces is each person buying?
I truly want to know how many of those pieces is just like ASOS hauls on YouTube.
The word haul gives me cringe energy.
I know.
Like, no, stop hauling.
I know.
It's garbage.
Haul
your ass over to the store.
Right?
Stop it.
Haul yourself to Hobby Lobby and pick up a sewing machine, girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess that translates to 1.2 trillion annual going into the pockets of the global fashion industry. So that's not a feel-good number either.
Money.
It's all money. It's all, I guess you could say it's a capitalist thing. It's about making money.
I guess. Everything is capitalist. What do you mean? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is what I was interested to read about. Like, fast fashion is clearly negative. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the benefit of fast fashion? I mean, we were discussing that. Like, there are people out there that can now access, well, people, all of us can now access these amazing styles and trends and things that like the stars are wearing, that people are wearing, that in no one could ever look like that before. And now you can look like that the next day. Like, they're recreating these things like overnight. You want to look like so-and-so on TV, you go into Zara the next day, or there's going to be some kind of knockoff.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some pros and cons to that. Like, the pros are like you're saying, like, the accessibility. Like, you know, whether or not it's, like, to look like somebody or to stay up with trends, like, accessibility is a major thing with mm-hmm. fast fashion. Like, mm-hmm. you can count on being able to get a $2 tank top at Forever 21, and anybody can go buy a $2 tank top. Like, versus if you go to Aritzia, it's, like, what? Like, $30. I mean, Aritzia is not, like, necessarily, like, I don't know, like, the most sustainable anything either, but that's just what I mean about, like, accessibility.
Accessibility. I feel like a lot of these stores, too, are better for size accessibility.
Yeah, you're 100% right. A lot of, like, more smaller brands, they have zero range.
They have no range.
In size.
So it's like, if the capitalists want you, they will make it easy for you to join this.
Hey,
this
that's
problem.
Their job.
That's their job.
That's their job. Their solution is to figure out how they can take your money.
So there are benefits. Like, it's not all the absolute worst thing ever. You know, you can express yourself. You can develop some kind of style, although it's very prescribed.
Yeah, see, this is where I kind of have conflict with this conversation, because, like, I understand accessibility being a major important, like, benefit of fast fashion, but at the same time, like, at what point are we drawing a line of being like, okay, are you just trying to look cute because your friend looks cute? And that same thing, like, I know there, I guess, like, I already know the answer to this. Like, my question to myself would be like, if there are so many options for people to be able to shop at a, you know, more sustainable option, less fast or whatever it is. But I already know the answer is just like, it is how easy it is to get, basically. Like, it's so much easier to order something off of Amazon and get it, like you said, like tomorrow or the next day, mm-hmm. versus scrolling through Etsy to find a designer that you actually like and is actually within your budget. Like, time is a huge thing. Like, that's a commodity for people. So I know that's why people are choosing to purchase through fast fashion. It's reliable. It's quick. Return policy is a huge thing. If you buy something from a small business, the return policy is not going to be as lenient as a large corporation. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely some benefits in that.
And the price, like we keep saying, like, you want to look good for less. That makes sense. Your life is changing. You have to have different outfits for different parts of your life, work, home, going out. Like, it makes sense. You can't always afford to buy new pieces for every occasion or whatever. Like, I can understand why people subscribe to fast fashion and why it's pretty much the leading way that fashion is right now. That's how people access fashion right now.
Yeah. So I wonder then, like, where does this go? Because you were talking about how much waste is made a year. Like, if we continue on this trajectory, like, there's going to be more clothing than there is, like, water on the earth.
That's actually really scary. But they call this, apparently, the linear model. So, from my reading, they were saying that it's, like, take, make, and waste. That's a linear model. There's no cycle.
Yeah.
It is take. So, you're harvesting the raw materials. So, we talk about synthetic materials that have all of these byproducts and all of these negative chemicals that get into water and get into land, leaching. Yeah. The take is terrible. And those are just the synthetic materials or the energy that's needed to make a synthetic material. Even if you think about cotton. So unless it's organic cotton, cotton is a huge water taker to produce and to make a fabric out of. That has a huge take, which I had no idea. So really only organic cotton is something that would be quote, sustainable.
Yeah, you know what's so interesting in conversations about fast fashion? Most people are talking about the end result of the waste, and not a lot of people are talking about the waste at the beginning, the waste it takes to create.
Absolutely.
From scratch.
The moment you, I guess, take, that is the waste. Like, the minute that you start to make a thing, that is where the waste starts. So take is the harvesting of the raw materials. Make is the production. These are just the first few steps. It all leads to waste. So the wearing and the subsequent disposal is the waste. Notice how the wearing is part of the waste. Like, how long are you wearing something?
Yeah, So that's also the thing, is it's like, sometimes the quality isn't made to wear. There's that argument.
It's,
but then also,
never
like,
made to wear.
But also, is there a way that you can make things? I mean, that's also an argument that on the positive side of fast fashion. If you're able to keep a garment and make it last 4, 5, 10 years, like, that's not fast. That's lasting you just as long as some of these other pieces. So 100%. It really depends on what your intention is with buying the item.
And I think that's one of the places that people actually have control, because a lot of this feels so out of the general population's control, because really it is. Like, you don't have a choice in how a company decides to produce these materials. Sure, you can choose not to buy there, but let's say you're already in the fast fashion. You've already purchased all these things and you're learning this now and you're like, oh my God, this is terrible. Well, what can you actually do that right in the middle of it? You can keep those things in your closet, wear them, use them, show them off, keep them looking fresh, maintain your materials, get that thing to last a long time.
Or figure out new ways to wear it, which is also, like, one of the reasons why, I really love the Old Loser in Brooklyn, her account, because she shows you really unique ways to rewear your pieces. Like, the best place to shop is your closet. Like, you can repurpose and without even having any knowledge of how to sew or how to stitch or cut any fabric, like, you don't need to do any of that. It's so unnecessary.
So
there are ways you can modify.
Like, what are some of the, like, tips that you think would work for you or that you're already doing?
In terms of like reusing clothes.
Yeah, reusing, rewearing, repurposing.
Yeah, the big thing that I find is sometimes, okay, so I like to donate clothes once I feel like I've kind of lived through them, right? But sometimes I'll set a pile of clothes aside that I'm unsure of, and I'll like set them aside for a few months or like put them away for a year or something. And then I open my suitcase and I completely forgot that I put this like shirt away that I wasn't sure that if I liked or didn't like. And now that I see it again, I'm totally in love with it. So that's one way, is just kind of like knowing, I guess, like the time of when you, I don't know, like when you feel that the outfit or the shirt like matches the time in your life.
Mm.
I don't know. That's kind of specific. So that's one way. And then another way is just like getting super experimental with how you actually wear the specific piece. If it's like a plain white t-shirt, like you're going to be able to use that in anything and everything. If it's a little bit of like a more patterned shirt that is like, can only go with like one or two things, like figure out what it goes with and, what you would not expect it to go with, and just play around. I think playing around, helps you find your personal style.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're left with only what you have in your closet, you're really forced to find new ways to wear it. Or if it's the exact same outfit that you would wear it, how you would accessorize it differently to make it more different for the occasion or whatnot. I don't know.
I feel like we talk about that a lot. Like, I think I got more into thrifting. Like, I liked thrifting, but I was really taken aback by how good the thrifting is in LA. And so we've been talking a lot about that.
I love thrifting in LA. Yeah. It is my favorite thing.
You are the thrifting queen. I mean, let's be real. So
truly, my closet is becoming less and less of stuff that I've bought in stores and more of what I've bought at a thrift store. Like, truly, I would say probably my closet is 80% thrifted at this point.
That's so impressive.
Which is insane. I'm truly proud of myself.
You should be. And let's just be clear. Katie always looks fresh. Like, it's not like Katie is showing up like, wow, is that thrifted?
Like, well, no,
she's looking good.
No, you do ask if it's thrifted, but you ask if it's thrifted because you're impressed.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not like worried. I'm very impressed. And I'm just like, how is that thrifted?
It's a game for me at this point.
Yeah.
But I also feel like thrifting super pushes you to find your personal style. Like,
that's
so
exactly
much faster.
Right.
Like, so much faster.
When I first started in LA, I mean, it's hard because I think that the style of like anyone's wardrobe is kind of dictated by like where they live or where they've been or where mm-hmm. they mostly spend their time. So I was saying, like, I had all blacks. I'm currently wearing all black, but I had all black and like dark colors because I came from like a dark, rainy little
Same.
Spot. And
yeah, my fashion was so out of whack in Portland too.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't like thrifting there is not the same as it is here.
No, it's like a lot of plaids, a lot of like skinny jeans and like kind of
ripped jeans and
boot situations. So it's cute. It works for those places.
For that area.
Totally. And I think it's dictated a little bit by like the weather.
100%.
Warm,
yeah.
Layers. So you come here and you're like, well, it's not going to work. Like, first of all, I'm very uncomfortable in this flannel jacket with Sherpa inside, and it looks very weird. So
right, like, you look like you came from the Pacific Northwest, like
transplanted.
Yeah,
100%. Like, confused and lost. So that was like the first part for me was like, okay, before I figure out what my style is, I have to like undo like the fact that my style is all wrong. Like, it's not bad, it's just all wrong for where I am. So like, that was the first step, I think, is undoing like what I was stuck in. And then noticing that I could build my own personal style and take influence from everything I was seeing around the city and the people I was meeting and the environment and the thrift stores, like, they have so much selection. So you really have to go in with like an open mind.
Yeah. Thrifting is, I have a lot of feelings about it because I do it a lot. First of all, I think it's important when you thrift to be mindful of how much you thrift. Again, going back to this like haul mentality, I see so many like quote like like thrift slash sustainable influencers, but they are also just doing ridiculous amounts of like thrifting hauls, which I feel kind of uncomfortable about because I'm like, well, you're still over purchasing, you're still wasting on some perspective. And also like the people who wanted to buy those for their actual closet cannot now buy those because you've hauled them out of that Goodwill.
And they're not, you know, like, are these people actually wearing all these clothes? Probably not.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. Like,
it's a costume for them.
Yeah. And you know what? I hear often, this is not like an influencer specific issue. This is like, I know that a lot of people struggle with this, especially when they're learning how to thrift, is because it's so cheap, you can convince yourself to just buy it and throw it in the basket. You and I have done this. I know that we've done this like thrifting before where we're like, oh, we'll just buy it. It's like $3, like whatever. But it's kind of a bad habit to build because it's still kind of like a wasteful habit because you're still taking something you're not going to use and you're wasting.
You're taking more than you really need. No, I am definitely in that trap because I'm so excited.
Yeah, you get excited. And also, like, especially in the beginning when you're discovering your style.
That's the hardest part. Yeah. You're like, well, this might work. You buy things
you think are cute right in the moment, or you think you love because that was your style, like, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, once you bring it home and try it on, it, like, never leaves the house.
Exactly. So I think to kind of combat that, you've been taking some things back, like kind of in a cycle. Like
I do it often. Yeah. It's like the one in, one out method.
Which works really well for you. I feel like I need to get into that too. If I'm going to start thrifting, I need to have like that one in, one out.
I also just get really overwhelmed with junk. Like if something's in my room for too long without a place, it just gets kicked out. Like I'm like, if it does not have a home, its home is not my floor.
It is not. It's not bringing joy.
It does not belong. Yeah.
There's no sparking joy here.
Yeah. Sparks just frustration.
Sparky frustration. Well, I mean, I think like that makes a lot of sense. And that's a skill that I have to learn going forward if I want to keep. Yeah. My sanity, because I'm bursting at the seams with all these like cold weather clothes that I brought and I'm still not sure what to do with them. And I don't think it makes a lot of sense to give them away here. So I might take some of them home.
Give some of them away. Yeah. Well, hey, don't underestimate how cold people get in LA though.
Not LA itself, but the people.
Yeah. Cold. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. That too. But also like there is Big Bear. So people will still go drive out to the snow. So
they might need some of my They giant might need sweaters.
Some giant stuff. Should we move on to Q&A?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool, let's do it. Cool.
Cool.
Hey.
Hey.
How have you been?
Since a few minutes ago, real good.
That little song
space. that space for ads. Really good. Yeah. I hope everyone enjoyed it just as much as we did.
Yeah, super enjoyed. Okay, so this is the part of the podcast where we do some sort of Q&A. So typically, we would reserve this time to have a Q&A with our guest. Mm-hmm. But since we have no guest on this episode,
we are the guests.
We will Q&A each other.
Yeah.
You did a lot of research. My research is mostly just like personal experience and just what I've seen on the internet. But you actually like did research. So, wait, I'm going to look at my notes. Okay, so tell me about so you were talking earlier about like a linear, what did you call it?
Like a linear model of fashion?
A linear model of fashion, precisely. So on the reverse side of that, there is a circular line of fashion.
Yeah.
So how's that? What is that about?
So I think the buzzword at this point is closed loop fashion.
Oh, yeah.
No, because it's exactly that. It's a line or it's a circle. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Hopefully one is like recycling, reducing, and coming back in a positive way, right? Whereas the other one was strictly focused on getting it out, mass production, like straight to waste. Like there's no benefit except for the the 5 minutes you're wearing the piece of clothing, right?
Do you think this closed loop system is the solution that fast fashion needs, or do you think it's a solution?
In my personal opinion, I think we all just need to think a little less about how we look and think a little bit more about the environment if we really want to make an effort to change. But I think this is a step. I think this is a step to retaining the fashion industry and making less of a negative impact.
So how does it typically work with a company? So if they decided to adopt this process, what would it look like?
Yeah, I think there are a number of ways that a company would adopt some of the closed loop practices to make themselves less linear. So a few things that I was reading about include, and these are pretty hot topics too, garment take back programs. So I guess after I researched this, a lot of my ads became targeted. So like on Instagram.
Of course.
It was so strange. There was, I think, at least two that were targeted to me on that same day. And one was a clothing company or a shoe company actually that was saying basically like a glass bottle. If you put a discount down when you buy these shoes, we will take them back from you at any point. We will recycle them. We will make them new and you can have a new pair from us.
Oh, wait, I think I've heard of this.
Yeah.
I think I've heard of this company before.
Yeah. I didn't write the name down, but I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah. I've heard of, I also do not know the name of it, but I feel like I've heard of this company before.
Yeah, you probably got it on Instagram too.
Yeah, I've also targeted.
Yeah, so, and I was like, okay, so garment take back programs. So you can wear anything you buy from that brand and they will take it back no matter what quality it is, what age it is, what like style it is that whenever you
they're just using the fibers basically. You think they're bleaching it and then just kind of using the clean fiber?
I mean,
or whatever.
One can hope. They may also be like a greenwash company and they're just sending it off and burning it in a hole.
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I don't trust everything just yet. But the idea is there, right? Like the fact that they could possibly take off the soles, resole the shoe, clean the shoe, like sell it again as new. I mean, some things are really, like some materials last forever, right?
You know what? I watch a lot of old makeup TikToks, like where they show like old makeup palettes. And those things were so, none of them were single use because everything was metal basically, but everything was refillable. All like literally every, in the freaking 1910s, you can get this cute little compact for your wrist and you can refill your lipstick anytime at the drugstore. Like it's so sustainable. It's ridiculous that we don't do anything like that.
I know, right now. But you can understand why. Like, do you have time to be like, I'm going to take my 25 small containers to the store and get some lady to like refit some lipstick in there? Like,
hey, that's why they have those in-mail subscription boxes now, because we're lazy.
We are lazy. That is what makes me so mad. It's like, I'm so lazy. Like, I have filled my time with like working myself to a point of tears and driving on the highway. And I do not have time for any of these things. It's a mindset. It's slower life. It's slower living. Like, it is caring more about
basically
like,
the opposite life that society is trying to get us to live.
Yeah.
Is the life that we're supposed to live.
I mean, kind of. Like, I even remember my grandma being like, you know, she always looks really nice. And I would say to her, like, when she comes over, like, oh, I really like your outfit or whatever. And she's like, oh, these slacks, you know, I've had these slacks for years. And I'm like, have you really? Like, they look brand new. And she's like, well, I'm not of your generation. Like, we buy like, classic pieces and they last forever. And I mean,
and clearly, they look good. And they look good. Grandma's fly.
Grandma's fly. She's like, I picked my style and I'm sticking to it. And that's fine. She's always looked the same to me. Like since I've known her, but
yeah,
she doesn't subscribe to like the trends, right?
Yeah.
So,
give me an example of, some sort of like sustainable, or closed loop business here in LA. Do you have any?
Yeah. So it's hard because I think there's a lot of places in LA that are trying really hard to do this. Like I think as many as there are fast fashion brands, there are equal number of people that really truly care and want to be closed loop. They want to have these take back programs.
Hopefully they care, because you also brought up greenwashing earlier, which is a problem where companies pretend that they care, but the only thing they have in mind still is profit.
I know. Yeah. Actually, it might be good if you tell us a little bit more about greenwashing before we get into it. Like, you were telling me about, like, Coach bags and, like...
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So basically, I kind of gave like a quick overview, but greenwashing essentially is like when a company is overly being like, we're eco-friendly, we really care. They use a lot of buzzwords. They use things like green, eco-friendly, sustainable. They use those buzzwords a lot. And when they overuse them, you know, that's a red flag, because you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
What's the issue? So places that are notorious for greenwashing are also those places that are fast fashion. So places like H&M that have a conscious line, an eco-conscious line, where it's like, hey, you know, maybe the 400 pieces of clothing that we produce every season are really horrible for the planet, but we made 20 that are kind of nice and, you know, we tried. Like, that's a prime example of greenwashing. And then you have companies that their primary marketing message is about how green and eco-friendly they are. Like, that's what they push. Like, that's such a red flag / green flag.
Such a green flag.
Yeah. So that's just always something to look out for. And the best way to just avoid purchasing or supporting a greenwashing company is just to really know the values of the company themselves and where their money is going and what they actually support and what they're actually doing outside of the production of their clothes. Those are ways that you can really differentiate like a really good company versus one that's just trying to greenwash their way into your pocket.
Absolutely. And I think a really key thing that you brought up is like the language they're using. Like, if they're using these big words that have no real definition,
It's like the word natural, right? Yeah. Versus organic. Natural. Like, everything can be natural, but like only one thing can be certified organic.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Like, if you're questioning the definition of these terms that someone's giving out, or there's too many words, or they just don't.
It's the same word you see over and over again. If it feels fishy, it probably is.
Absolutely. Because I think a lot of these companies are kind of in that greenwashing cycle.
Yeah. Okay. But tell me about the stores in LA what you have found.
I have some personal experience with one particular store that I'm really pretty pleased with. It's a store based out of LA. It's called Whimsy and Row. And I just stumbled upon them when I was walking around Culver City, taking my dog to get groomed, and just thought, oh, like, I'll check them out. They look really cute. Like, it had some, like, I don't know, just a really subtle, like, calming color palette. And like their storefront was just like huge windows. And I just, well, okay, I'll walk in and just see what's up.
Whimsical.
So whimsical. I don't know what the row is, but it's just, it was really pretty. So walked in. There was a really nice girl in there. She's like, hi. And there was a cute dog in there. And I was just like, this is great. I can't leave.
If it has a dog.
I know. I actually was a wiener dog. So I was like,
oh my God, I've always wanted a wiener dog.
So I was sold. I'm like, okay, well, even if I don't want to buy anything, I'm going to spend at least 5 minutes here petting your dog. Uh-huh. So
yeah, of course.
Fine. So I'm going around, I'm doing my thing, and I'm like, so cheap. So I looked at the price tags and I was like, oh my God, everything was really expensive. And I was like, hold on.
What's expensive? Because expensive is different for everyone.
$185 for a button-down t-shirt.
I think that's expensive for everyone.
Very expensive. But let's talk about it. So that was my initial reaction, was like, Lord, no, like I cannot afford this. And then I really got thinking about it. And I was talking to the girl too. Like, she was someone who worked at the, I guess, factory lines, mm-hmm. like if you can call them factories when it's a small company. And she was just helping support the storefront that day. So she had a totally different experience. She wasn't in sales. She wasn't trying to sell me. She's just like, hey, let's talk about this store. You're here. You're new to LA. You're asking questions. Like, I'll tell you about it. So she said, hey, you've probably noticed that these prices are pretty high. Yeah, they're pretty high. Like, I don't know if I can afford a whole lot. And she was like, yeah, that's the point, is that you're not supposed to come in here and buy like 50 pieces. You're supposed to come in here and get a couple of things that you need that you want to wear for a long time. And she said, you certainly will wear our pieces for a long time. We only use materials that are durable. We only use, I think they're only using like organic cottons. Canvas is like the now big one.
I wonder though, just kind of going back to the discussion of trend, are these pieces that are timeless?
So that's a really good question. That's the idea of like a seasonless style. Mm-hmm. So like something that could be worn in any season, something that's not trying to fit a niche. It's sort of trying to be useful all year round or useful in different wardrobes for different styles. I don't know if they're completely seasonless. I don't know if they're completely there, but certainly it's trying. Like the piece that I fell in love with was a canvas mini skirt with pockets on the front. So that material is extremely durable, like canvas. Like
yeah,
it stretches a little bit, it gives, so I'm not uncomfortable, but I have not noticed any like pilling. I have
Do you wear often?
I wear it all the time.
Ooh, like, nice.
Constantly. I love it. It's one of my most favorite things. It's really, really durable. And I asked her about it and she's like, yeah, we double stitch everything. We do not want anything breaking down. If something tears or rips, bring it back. We will fix it for you.
That's like, great.
That is their point. They build these things by hand. They're built by local people. They're hiring local like people to work in their factories. Their designer is a girl from, I don't know if she's from San Francisco, but she did some schooling on the West Coast in California. She wanted to meet the trends in California, but she also wanted to basically kind of kill that fast fashion vibe and bring really like hearty, long-lasting, slightly seasonless trends or pieces in a way that would be more sustainable. So like a lot of her fabrics too are like extra pieces that come from other productions. Like they'll upcycle things and things that can't... like little ends and bits that they can't use, they'll send off. I think they said they send it someplace in New York where there's like, Mary Mole. It's a textile recycling company in New York that actually uses small scraps for small bits. Like they make small things out of it and they actually sell those things too. So pretty much nothing is going to waste.
That's great.
Like this company has all of their metrics. Like there's a huge, super detailed page about
And transparent. Transparency so transparent. Is such an important part about finding a company that you trust.
Absolutely. And they're transparent about everything. Like they're transparent about how they treat their employees. They're transparent about where they're building their pieces, where their fabrics are coming from, where their fabrics are going. Like it is very transparent. And I think that's why I listened to the girl and I was like, hey, okay, so all these things are why I'm paying $185 for a button down shirt. Not everyone can afford that. Not everyone can do this. But this is the start, you know, these companies that actually care. And if people start to go that way and all these companies start to do this, like possibly
eventually it will start to be cheaper. Exactly. It would start becoming more affordable because it's, I mean, the places like Forever 21 are eventually going to have to adapt in some way, shape, or form, especially hopefully cross our fingers that this amazing new generation coming through can help us create some new laws and government that kind of help and support that.
Yeah. So like from your experience and your knowledge, because you're way more knowledgeable about this. This is from my research. What kind of, what kind of action and change do you think society needs to go through to have this actually come to the forefront, actually work?
That's such a hard question because I think there are so many factors that come into play. Like, first and foremost, capitalism is the root of every cause of evil in this country, truly. So eliminating capitalism will eliminate a lot of issues. If we're not focusing on that issue and we're focusing entirely on environmental, I mean, again, everything comes down to capitalism, but... on a personal level, just thinking about how one person, each individually, can just minimize our waste. Because I hesitate to push people on how many facts about how corporations are the cause of all this waste, because I think that eliminates personal responsibility. And I think that's the furthest thing that we should be doing. Because regardless of if companies were creating this waste, we should always have personal responsibility of our own waste, and the ways that we're doing things. So just always being conscious, and then seriously dedicate time to figuring out your personal style so that you're not so reliant on trends. And the only reason you should be shopping, or that, you know, people really do shop at fast fashion, in outside of necessity, is to keep up with trends. So I think the further away that you walk from trying to fit in and trying to fit into trends, whatever that looks like, I think that's liberating in a lot of ways, but also I think that just helps on an environmental aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think liberating is definitely the right word. Like, once you figure out that you are capable of developing your own trend, your own style, like, go into that closet, make a new trend, like, mix and match, entertain yourselves. Like, you don't need to go to H&M and find something new every 2 weeks.
Or Zara, as cute as everything is. Honestly, no, truly, like, for real, stop following these accounts on social media, first of all. Like, they don't need you as a follower. Like, you already know Zara exists. You don't need to be seeing every single piece that they're coming out with. That's just going to encourage your mindset to think about consuming. And we want to avoid a consumerism mindset here. So I think being satisfied with what you have and being able to create, those are the accounts that I truly love to follow on social media, are the ones that are really changing the game, that are like, I've had this piece for 10, 15 years and I'm still making it look relevant and new. I think those are really interesting people. And I think those are the people that are going to be leading fashion in hopefully a positive light.
Mm-hmm. Consume cookies, not fashion.
Consume cookies, not fashion.
Yeah, I know, I have to agree with that. Like, it's a consumerist mindset and we have to get out of that in so many different ways.
Yeah. That was a lovely conversation, Ashley.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
That was really fun. I learned a lot.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for your 4 pages of research. And
yes, anytime, every time, in fact, I'm sure.
I know. We will definitely be linking some of these things in the show notes, people that we mentioned and things, etc. there. Thank you guys for listening and jumping into this conversation.
We would love your feedback. Go to our Instagram page, follow us there.
At Coconut Grove Pod.
Yep. Like, review, subscribe, give us your feedback.
It helps. Everything. It super helps. This episode is dropping at the same time as episode 1 and episode 3. So if you haven't already, go give those a listen. Mm-hmm. Episode 1 was just kind of getting to know us. And then episode 3, we talk about psychedelics, psychedelic therapy with our very first guest. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our community, and we really look forward to getting to know you guys better.
Yeah, and check out our trailer if you want to share with friends and tell them that you're loving this podcast and you don't know what to say. Just throw that trailer on, hit it up, and we are so happy you're here. So.
Yeah, spread this podcast like wildfire, you guys. We would love to be the voice you listen to when you need a voice. Cool.
In the car, at night, okay.
In the shower, on everywhere. The toilet, when you're cleaning. I'm just kidding. Or I'm not. You decide.
You be the judge of that, and we'll see you in the next one.
Okay, bye.
Bye.